Proverbs chapter 6. I'm going to read one verse, and then I'm going to read one verse in Proverbs chapter 29. I'm going to share some things with you this morning that are in my heart. I don't necessarily preach like this often. I do not want to be labeled a sensationalist, but I'm going to take some things that are happening in our news, in the current events of the world, and ask God to use it to stir our hearts and to challenge our hearts this morning. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 15, "Therefore shall his calamity come." What's that next word? Say it out loud, please. Suddenly. What's the next word? Suddenly shall he be broken. And then the next two words are without remedy. Look at Proverbs, please, chapter number 29 and verse number 1. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 1, the Bible said, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall," what's that word? "Suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." There's a time in an individual's life when it's too late for the remedy. I'm glad I'm part of a church that believes that Christ is the remedy for sin. But according to the Word of God, there can come a time, and that time can come suddenly when it's too late for the remedy. If I was going to title the message today, I would just use that one word, suddenly. 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 Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you this morning for the privilege to be here. God, I pray you take control, Lord, of my mind and my heart, my speech. Help me, God, not to say anything, Lord, that would be displeasing in thy sight. Help me, God, just to be obedient. Lord, I believe with all my heart, even after midnight last night, you were still stirring in my heart. God, I pray today, Lord, that you'd take this message. Lord, we may see fruit from this message today, and we may not see fruit until later. But God, I do believe you're going to use this to help some individual this Lord's day. And Lord, I pray today, God, that you would just help me, God, to preach with compassion. Help me, God, to preach with a brokenness. Help me, Lord, to be filled with the Spirit of God. God, don't only give me Spirit-filled words to say, but God, give us Spirit-filled ears to hear, God, what the Holy Ghost would say to us this Lord's day. Father, I know today, Lord, that you're able. Lord, you're not limited. Your arm is not short. God, I pray today, Lord, you take the message now and use it for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I have a three-part message that I want to try to preach today. And the good Lord willing, I want to preach the first two parts this morning. And the third part tonight in the second service today. And the first thing I want to look at is sudden destruction. Sudden destruction. I know that it's probably better, if you can, not to start a message off with such a negative. But I want you to know there is such a thing called sudden destruction. The Bible is going to tell us here that according to the Word of God, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child. They shall not escape. I'm going to say some things today, and I'm not trying to pick on anyone. But I'm going to say some things today that I believe need to be said. I don't know how many are paying attention to the news. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but in some of the newscasts, they'll take a microphone and they'll walk the streets of New York, or they'll walk the streets in San Francisco, and they'll ask people who the vice president is, and people don't have a clue. Yeah. They don't have a clue. They don't have a clue what's going on in America. And I want to say this in the onset of this message this morning. I love our young people. And I hope and pray to God that God will help our young people to pay attention to what's going on in this world. Amen? Because what's going on around the world, folks, is coming home. Marker down. Amen? It's coming home. And it does matter what's going on. I was listening to the news last week, and I don't just watch news all the time, 24/7. I could never be encouraged if I did that. Say amen. I mean, I got to turn the news off and get my Bible down and try to keep it in balance and in perspective and understand that God is still on the throne and God's in control. Amen. But now on the news, the White House press secretary came out last week, and I'm going to read a clip. That way I don't get in trouble. This clip is from the CNSnews.com. The White House press secretary, Josh Earnest, said Monday that the Obama administration's foreign policies in a number of areas have enhanced the world's tranquility. A word that raised eyebrows as reporters pointed to situations in Gaza, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Ukraine, and the South China Sea. And this is my own words now. I would like to add Mexico. I wrote this down last night before I listened to the news this morning. Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. And then I turned the news on this morning for just a few minutes while I drank a cup of coffee. And they've got 50 caliber rifles now on the Mexican side shooting at the Border Patrol on the other side. I'm telling you that this world is anything but peace and tranquility. Anything but. But what are they saying? They're saying our policies has brought about peace, tranquility in the world. The Bible told us when they start saying such things, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. Anybody that knows anything about a lady that's expecting knows you better be ready. Amen. I mean, you better have a suitcase packed. That's right. You better not get between her and the bathroom door. That's right. Say amen. You'll get slapped, run over. Amen. You got to be ready. You got to be ready. And I'm going to tell you this morning, I believe God wants to speak to some heart today that you might get ready. The word tranquility means the quality or the state of being tranquil. It means calm. Synonyms for tranquility are peace, peacefulness, restfulness, repose, calm, calmness, quiet, quietness, and stillness. And I'll tell you, this world is anything but those words right there. Anything but those words right there. Sudden destruction's coming. I'm going to use an illustration this morning out of the news this week, and I hope and pray to God that it'll go right, because I am not trying to defame. I'm not trying to be a sensationalist, but I want to call something to your attention. You say, well, preacher, that happened way over yonder. How many of y'all know that them rockets now are everywhere in the world? You say, well, preacher, them rockets you put on your shoulder, they can't reach 30,000 feet. No, they can't. That's the truth. But let me ask you something. Let me give you something to think about. We went into Charlotte this week to see Sister Sherry. And how many knows that there in Charlotte, the airplanes, I'm telling you, I could hit them with a 30-06. They're coming in low. You can see them. You're not guessing about it. Amen.
and that the terrorism in the world, these rockets are missing. A lot of them are ours. We better wake up in this country. We better understand, amen, that there's sudden destruction coming as upon a woman with travail. As a woman with travail. Let me give you something. Let me give you something that I think will help bring about this illustration here. Last week, at 30,000 feet, that Malaysian Airlines Flight 17 was shot down. Now you say, preacher, what are you going to say? Let me just challenge your thinking for just a minute. If a plane's on fire, then the pilot or the co-pilot comes over the microphone and they tell the people, we need to strap up. Ain't that right? Need to put your seatbelts on. We need to prepare for an emergency landing and all of that. Well, if they do that, you've got time to pray. Providing the Holy Ghost is dealing with your heart about the fact that you're fixing to leave out of this world into eternity. If they come on there and there's a bunch of terrorists with box cutters and they cut one or two people's throat and there's blood running everywhere in the aisle, you've got time to pray. Providing the Holy Ghost is dealing with your heart. Because see, you don't call upon the Lord anytime you want to. Amen. There must be a time when the Spirit of God is dealing with our heart. They could come on there and say the plane's been hijacked. They could say it's been on fire. They could say that we've lost an engine. They could say that we're losing cabin pressure. And all of these things, understand me, would give you a little moment in time, providing God is dealing with you to do business with the God of heaven. But at 30,000 feet, Brother Wayne, there was not a moment. Not one moment, Brother Jeff. I'm telling you, when that missile hit that plane, in a split second, 298 people went out into eternity. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm telling you, I'm not trying to be gross, but there's the plane and the wreckage and the body parts are strewn for 10 miles. And they said that they showed pictures. Many of them still had their earphones on where they were watching a movie on the plane. I'm telling you, it was business as usual, travel as usual. I'm trying to tell you, my friend, this morning, I'm not trying to be gloom and doom, but in this country, if things continue the way they're going, it is not going to be business as usual. Sudden destruction. I'm going to make a statement this morning. I'll get to it a little bit later. I am not judging the individuals that are on this plane. Everybody listen to me. I'm not God. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Yes, he will. Nobody left that plane and sneaked or snuck into heaven. Nobody left that plane, amen, that was ready to meet God and ended up in hell, amen. I'm telling you, it took them by surprise. It was sudden to them. But before God ever spoke the world into existence, He knew about that moment in time. You don't know when you're going to leave. I don't know when I'm going to leave. But I know I'm going to leave. And I know, thank God, it's all right because I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Let me give you something this morning. There's an American. At first they said 23. It had something to do with passports that they were a little bit confused about. But as far as we know, there was one American on the plane. I'm just going to read. I'm not even going to make comments on this because I want you to form your own conclusion. The American was Quinn Lucas Schansman. He was a dual citizen of the United States and of the Netherlands. The State Department spokesman, Jen Psaki, she said that on Twitter. Photos on social media accounts show a fun-loving college student who enjoyed hanging out with friends, had a girlfriend, and like to relax with a beer or a smoke, especially after exams. Some news report says he was 19 when he died. I'll let you form your own conclusions. Listen to me. I want to ask our young people this morning especially, what does your social media say about you? What does it say about your God? What does it say about your family? What does it say about your church? And what does it say about your eternity? I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm not a Facebooker. But if I was, I'd be saying something about the face of Jesus. Somebody help me. And I'm not looking at anybody's account. Are you listening to me this morning? I just asked the question. This fellow left some stuff behind. And I read it. What's it say? Many were found wearing the earphones, the wreckage and the body parts scattered out for 10 miles. 189 people that were on board out of the 298 were Dutch. So I just thought that night, I said, well, I don't even know what the Dutch believe. I didn't. I don't know what they believe. So I just typed in, what is the predominant religion of the Dutch people? Religion in the Netherlands in 1947, 44.3% belonged to Protestant denominations. 38.7% belonged to the Roman Catholic Church. 17.1% were unaffiliated. In the 20th century, listen to how much this sounds like America. In the 20th century, the major religions began to decline. Most Dutch Jews did not survive the Holocaust. And in the 1960s and 1970s, Protestantism and Catholicism began to decline. I'm just telling you a little bit about the nation that, my friend, 189 people belong to that went out of this world in a moment of time. Suddenly. 44 were Malaysian. Malaysia is a multicultural and multi-confessional. The dominant religion in Malaysia is Islam, whose followers make up 61.3% of the population. Islam is recognized as the state religion of Malaysia. Although the country has a secular constitution, debate exists about whether Malaysia should be a secular or an Islamic state. There's going to be a lot more of that debate before it's over with. Somebody say amen. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say 189 people came out of that background. 44 came out of the background of Islam. You say, preacher, you said you weren't going to judge. I'm not. But I'll tell you the words of Jesus. Jesus said this, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. According to statistics, it would be fair to say, I'll word it like this, that very few people suddenly went to heaven. If there was an individual on that plane that was born again, that individual went to heaven. I don't care what name tag you put on it. But I'll tell you, I don't care what name tag you put on it. If there were individuals on that plane that had never met Christ in faith and never been born of God, then my friend, they did not go to heaven when that plane exploded in midair. You know what I believe? I believe suddenly, sudden destruction came. Suddenly. There shall be creature. I don't understand. Well, let me ask you something. You put the seatbelt on. You put yourself on Malaysian Flight 17. Where would you be today? July the 20th, 2014. Where would you be today had you been on that plane? You say, preacher, this has nothing to do with America. That'll never happen in America. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm worried about a whole lot more than missiles. Somebody help me. Let me ask you something. Where are you going to be if Iran finishes what they've started? Israel might be their first target, but Israel will not be their last target. Somebody help me. I'm telling you, sudden destruction. Thank God Almighty, there's something down inside of me that cannot be destroyed. I've got a book in front of me that cannot be destroyed. I've got a home in glory land that cannot be destroyed. Years ago, Dr. Rice, John R. Rice, in a motel room, a young man decided he'd rob the old preacher. He stuck a pistol under his chin and said, "Give me everything you've got." Dr. Rice said, "Son, you can't scare me with heaven." That was real to that old man. Say amen. "Son, you pull the trigger and whatever caliber that is that goes right through there and out there, before I hit the ground, thank God I'll be in the presence of my Lord Jesus Christ." Suddenly, sudden destruction. Let me give you something this morning. Let me turn the coin over now. You say, "Preacher, I'm not trying to scare you this morning, but let's be real. How many knows what's going on down at Oak Ridge? How many knows what's going on over here at BAE? In other words, we're a pretty fair target here in East Tennessee. Somebody help me." And I'll just go ahead and say this. If there's a few preachers preaching in East Tennessee, that'd make a target even better. Say amen. The devil don't want it talked about. But I'm going to tell you something right now. The people in Israel, they're living in a turmoil right now. You say, "Well, preacher, that'll never happen to the United States of America." I'm going to tell you something right now, friend. We better get our head out of the sand. And we better realize that there is a God in heaven that's calling on us to realize that, my friend, listen. Let me ask you something. How many of you all know somebody that had they been on that plane, the moment you heard the news, are you listening to me? You would have said, "Oh my, they're not ready. They're not ready." According to their testimony, they're not ready to meet God. And yet we live like life is going to go on forever. Our smartphones and our earphones and our music and our entertainment. Am I right or am I wrong? Don't have time for the Word of God. Don't have time to pray. Don't have time to give somebody a gospel tract. Don't have time. And yet suddenly destruction is coming upon people. Suddenly. 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 I think about Brother Jeff and Sister Janet, Sister Teresa and Brother Sam. They must be fighting. They won't sit together. Amen. Well, if y'all are fighting, I'm in a heap of trouble, ain't you? Amen. You say, "Preacher, why did you mention them?" What they're doing takes time. Going out here and getting these kids. But Brother Jeff, if one of them is ready when suddenly the end comes, it'll be worth it all. If all of them get ready, I'll say hallelujah. But if one of them gets ready, it will be worth it all. I appreciate folk that invest their lives in the lives of others. Suddenly, sudden destruction. People pull up on a train track, and suddenly they go out into eternity. People get in a car and go through an intersection, and suddenly they go out into eternity. There was a state trooper that my dad was good friends with in Maryland. And he told the story. He said, "John, the most horrible thing I've ever experienced in my life is driving up on a wreck and the vehicle was on fire and the people inside were screaming. They were still alive. They burned to death." He said, "Preacher, why would you bring that up? I'm telling you, they didn't plan on burning to death that day. They left home planning on coming back home, but suddenly something happened in their life." Sudden destruction. But let me give you this morning. Let's turn the coin over right now. What about sudden deliverance? You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Turn with me in your Bibles, please. Turn with me over there. to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16. Let me say one more thing here before I move on to the last point for this morning. How many believes the Lord is coming in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye? Brother Fred gets up here once in a while. He uses his pitch pipe and he blows his pitch pipe to call the choir. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. There's going to be an angel step out one day and he's going to blow a trumpet. Not to call the choir, but to call the church. Hallelujah. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, it's going to be over. Listen to what the Word of God said here. The Bible said, lest coming suddenly, He finds you sleeping. You know where God's going to find some people in Kingsport? Asleep. Sudden destruction. The Bible said in Proverbs 24:21, my son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change. I'm trying to be nice. Y'all know it's hard. The facts aren't always nice. We got hope and change, didn't we? Say amen. You say, preacher, what are you going to say right there? Well, he already told us he wants to remake America. And if you're going to remake America, you got to unmake the America we know. Now listen, you say, preacher, I don't understand. Watch this. I didn't know this till last night. 85 of America's first 100 colleges. Listen to this, Brother Gary. 85 of 100 that were built for the preaching of the gospel. 85 out of 100 universities in America and colleges were built for the promotion and the proclamation of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Harvard was founded as a Christ-centered school. In 1646, one of its rules stated, everyone shall consider the main end of his life and studies to know God and Jesus Christ, which is life eternal. Yale was founded in 1701 to train preachers of the gospel. Their president told the 1814 graduating class, Christ is the only true, the living way of access to God. Listen to Princeton. Princeton insisted in its early days that every faculty member be convinced of the necessity of religious experience for salvation. Its first president said, cursed be all learning that is contrary to the cross of Christ. Those statements were not made from a pulpit. They were made in the universities that this country was founded upon. The Bible said, meddle not with them that are given to change. Let me tell you something right now. It's not just this last presidency. There's been an erosion going on for years. Amen. Given to change. 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 There's people sitting in this building that saw indoor plumbing come into being. I used to pastor a lady down there at Liberty Baptist. She still had an outhouse. Probably the happiest woman I've ever met in my life. Still burned coal. I'm not against these modern things. I'm not against that. I'm glad. Miss Eve said this morning she is freezing. Do I look like I'm freezing? Amen. I'm not against air conditioning, and I'm for it. I'm not against padded pews. I thank God for them. But I'm going to tell you something right now. The change that's going on in America today, my friend, is making the God of heaven sick at his stomach. Oh, don't get on that, preacher. Don't worry. I don't have time to get on all of it. But y'all know what I'm talking about. Things that God says is sin, man is saying is acceptable. It'll never be acceptable in the eyes of God. Never. 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 Someday God's going to let me preach on the hate train. I was reading about it last night. These six things doth the Lord God hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to Him. We're going to examine the hate train one of these days. Look at it car by car by car. But the first one, by the way, it's crept into our Baptist churches. A proud look. Help us, Jesus. Help us. Help us. Sudden destruction. Let's look at Acts just for a minute. What about sudden deliverance, preacher? In the book of Acts, chapter 16 and verse 26, the Bible said Paul and Silas were in prison. They were locked up for preaching the gospel. The Bible said, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. I'm telling you, just as suddenly as something called destruction comes along, just as suddenly something called deliverance comes along. You see, if there was a born-again individual on that plane, suddenly, Austin, they were in the presence of God. Suddenly. Suddenly delivered. Paul and Silas was back there. And by the way, I don't know if they knew that God was going to open the jail. But I know this. They knew God was with them. And they just went to praying and they went to praising God at midnight. And the prisoners heard them. And God said, I like that so good. And He shook the place. He said, preacher, suddenly the doors were open. Yes. And a man came in with a light trembling. He was going to take his life. And Paul said, do thyself no harm. We're all here. I tell you, just as suddenly as God shook it open, just as suddenly that Philippian jailer was saved by the grace of God and delivered from his sin. Just as suddenly, deliverance, suddenly. I want to say something this morning in closing. I know some people say you shouldn't talk like this, but it's just a fact of life. Brother Sam, if you hear that I got killed in a wreck, if you hear that some terrorist took my life, if you hear that I was on an airplane that got shot down, I want y'all to be sure and tell folks something for me, will you? Listen to me carefully. I want you to be sure and tell them I was a dual citizen. I love the United States of America. But thank God this morning I'm a dual citizen. It is not my real home. I'm a stranger and I'm a pilgrim. I'm looking for a country. I'm looking for a city. I tell you, my citizenship is in heaven with the Lord this morning. I'm a dual citizen. I'll tell you this morning, God wants us to understand sudden destruction and sudden deliverance. If Kingsport was blowed off of the face of the map this morning, bang, gone. For some, it would mean sudden destruction. But Brother Merv, for others, it would mean no more arthritis to deal with. It would mean no more knees to be replaced. It would mean no more pain. It would mean no more sorrow. It would mean no more cemeteries. It would mean no more hospitals. It would mean no more tears. It would mean to be in the presence of God forever and forever. What would be sudden destruction for so many in our town would be sudden deliverance for the rest of us. I tried to illustrate to the young people when I was preaching to them over at the camp. You remember when God told Noah, come thou in. God was in the ark. He said, Noah, come on in, son. He brought his family in. God shut the door. Who shut the door? Can I tell you something about this generation? I didn't open it. I ain't going to shut it. But God's going to shut the door. And I told our young people, I said, my concern is, I don't want God to shut the door and part of our young people be on the inside and part of them on the outside. And that's the truth. I say the same thing for our church. I say the same thing for Bloomingdale. You say, preacher, that's a tall order. I know. Let's just keep at it. Amen? Let's just keep telling them and keep telling them, keep warning them and keep warning them. Why? Because God told us to. What is sudden destruction for so many will be sudden deliverance for so many others. You say, preacher, will I be delivered because my name's on the roll? No. Not if you're talking about this roll. But if it's on the roll over yonder, you'll be delivered. And by the way, your name may be on the roll over yonder and may not be on this roll. But you'll still be delivered. Because that's the role he's looking at. Sudden destruction. I'm not trying to be gross this morning. But anybody that's been keeping up with the news a little bit. Our president stands as we need to have an investigation. By the time he gets there, there ain't going to be anything left to investigate. Oh, I would to God. Oh, you think this is rough? Come back tonight. Say amen. We need a leader. We need a leader. Say, preacher, you can't preach like that. Sudden destruction. I'm telling you, scattered out for 10 miles. And that, so far, they're missing over 100 of them. Their bodies may be disintegrated. That's what they're saying. Suddenly. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Our God, Brother Earl, took no pleasure in the death of the wicked. If there was one individual on that plane that died without God and went to hell, our God took no pleasure in that. I want you to know this morning, suddenly. We never know when we get in a car when suddenly it's going to come. We never know that there have been people sit down at a restaurant to eat and didn't leave the restaurant. There have been people that went, oh! That's it. Suddenly. I'm going to tell you something. You said, preacher, are you trying to scare us? No. I'm just trying to be real. I'm just trying to tell you that death is coming, and it may be suddenly. And if it is, will you be suddenly destroyed or will you be suddenly delivered? I don't know about you this morning. I want to leave a testimony. Charity, if something happens to Daddy, honey, and suddenly, I want to have enough testimony that there's not one question mark in my children's mind. They don't have to even weigh it out. Was he suddenly destroyed or was he suddenly delivered? I'll tell you, God knows. God knows. Listen to this and I'm done. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they have been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Suddenly. If you died this morning, suddenly. I was talking to a man over there in the hospital. And his testimony seemed a little bit shaky just as I listened to him. And I said, sir, let me ask you a question. This will kind of get to the bottom of it. He said, what is it, preacher? I said, if you died right now, do you know for sure that heaven would be your home? That sort of cuts through all of it, don't it? Amen. If you died right now, suddenly, do you know for sure that heaven would be your home? I'll be honest with you this morning. In the big scheme of things, that's the most important thing in this world that you could know, is that heaven will be your home if you're called on suddenly to leave this world. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you this morning, Lord, for the Bible. God, you said that there'd come a day they'd say peace and safety. Lord, it's not even safe on the streets in America. Lord, there's so much that we saw even down there in Charlotte, Lord. Man could have no peace if he wasn't prepared to meet God. God, I pray. God, I pray for moms and dads, sons and daughters. God, if that time should come suddenly in their life, God, I pray they'd be prepared. They'd be in a car, on a bus. Lord, I've recent years I've seen where, Lord, church vans and church buses were involved. And suddenly, people went out into eternity. God, your people are not exempt from the suddenness of death. God, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would help us to ask ourselves and answer honestly, if I died suddenly, would I be suddenly destroyed? Have I hardened my heart, stiffened my neck, turned away the Lord of glory, and suddenly I would be destroyed? Or have I received Christ? Has He changed my life? Do I know that I know that I know that heaven would be my home if I had to die suddenly? God, this morning I pray, help us, Lord, to receive the warning. Noah, being warned of God, he moved with fear. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And he became heir of the righteousness. He condemned the world and he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. God, I thank you this morning. The door is still open. God, you're still speaking.